Braved the elements, although I've been here for a very early morning, so I don't know if it's nice out there or not, but it was doing some type of weird thing when I came over here this morning. But again, we're happy to have you here and grateful that you can spend this time with us. You know, kind of a weird thing. I always love being transparent and being real with you guys. How many of you guys have ever had work dreams? Work dreams. Like, you're dreaming, you're just thinking about, like, when I was a teenager, I used to work at Friendly's. I don't know if anyone knows that. It's an East Coast big comfort food place, great food, ice cream, all that stuff. But I remember I'd have these work dreams. I'd be, like, paranoid if I got a customer's order, and I would be dreaming about this, or I'd drop water on somebody, things like that. For the first time in a long time, I had a work dream last night. Every 2 hours, I was up. I was like thinking about the message and edits and things like that. And just so you know, I'm like everybody else, you know. But it was kind of weird. It's been a long time since I've worried about or had a dream about work in a way that was just kept me up. So anyway, if you missed last week, we started a new sermon series in the book of Proverbs called The Way of Wisdom. There's a couple things that we kind of went over. I think it's kind of important. It serves as a backdrop for where we're going over the next couple of weeks. We looked at kind of who is the author of Proverbs, and so we kind of established that as Solomon. We'll reestablish that today because we're going to get back into chapter 1 in a couple different places. But the beginning, really in the first several verses of Proverbs, it talks about what's the point? Why these Proverbs? And so we learned just real quickly that they're there to make us wise in faith. Right? They're there so that we can grow, we can learn something. It covers the idea of being youthful and growing, being mature and growing. And so some of these things that come out. We also talked about there is a difference between intelligence and wisdom. And we talked about how intelligence just means you know something. You have some type of knowledge or things like that. But knowing something doesn't necessarily make you wise. So you can be smart but not wise. And my point in that is that we all know there are plenty of people who know things out there, and they're happy to share what they know. But that does not necessarily make them wise. Okay? And so we distinguish a talent is knowing something, but wise is taking that information and then applying it in a way that moves you progressively in a capacity of growth. Okay, and so as things come up in your life, as you are at crossroads and you have to make decisions, you make decisions that actually are beneficial to the knowledge that you have on hand. So there is a difference to that. There's a difference between just knowing things and then being wise. And then there was a big principle that we communicated, and we looked at Proverbs 7. And so we looked at the story that Solomon was telling. And again, we don't know if it was real or fictional to make a point, but it was basically this picture of this young man who was about to get himself in a world of trouble. He was going down a street where there was this known lady that was very welcoming of men in general, and especially she had her eyes set on this young man. Her husband was out of town. And so we were kind of looking at this picture, and if you want to call it zoom out of the 30,000-foot look, we were saying, like, it's obvious where this is going. You know, and I said, if this was a movie trailer, it'd be kind of like, okay, this is where this movie's going, and it's not going anywhere well. But the principle that we talked about last week was this idea that your direction determines your destination. So where your feet are pointing or where you're heading is where you're going to end up. And I said one of my favorite authors and pastors that I like to read, Andy Stanley, says it a little bit differently, and I like his way of saying your direction, not your intention, determines your destination. We all have good intentions about things. And right around this time of the year, everyone has good intentions about doing New Year's resolutions, trying to do different things. But good intentions alone don't get you where you're going. It's the steps you're taking that gets you to that place. And so we talked about your direction, not your intentions, determines your destinations. They could be part of it. And I was talking to someone after the service last week. Intentions are good. But intentions alone don't get you where you're going. Your direction gets you where you're going. And so, again, we were making this point that it doesn't matter what you hope would happen or what you wanted to see happen. It doesn't matter how smart, good-looking, or rich. The point is, and just practically speaking, if I get on 550 North, heading north, there's a whole bunch of towns I'm going to hit. Ridgeway, Kelowna, Montrose, Delta. That direction is going to get me to one of those destinations. It's not necessarily going to get me to Silverton. I would have to go south. I might want to go to Silverton, but if I start driving north, probably going to miss it. And so this is the idea. Your directions, not your intentions, determines this. And so, again, we know this principle to be true when it comes to geography, but for some reason, for whatever reason, this escapes us when we think about our relationships, our finances, morality, exercise, eating, developing skills that make us more competent or valuable. We often walk one way and hope to be somewhere else. And look, this is true no matter what, and it's testable. And I love that about Proverbs, and I love that about a lot of the scripture. As a youth pastor, I used to tell kids all the time, believer or unbeliever, go ahead, test it out. You'll find out that the scripture is true. I don't have to sell you on it, but are you willing to actually take that step? Because, you know, and if you're willing to do that, it means you might have to change something you're doing. And so one of the things that we concluded last week was that, look, when we think about getting lost, and take it in the context of driving a car, if you get lost, you know, backtracking and doing all that stuff, no big deal. You might lose a few hours, a few minutes, things like that in lines of where you're going. But what happens if you get lost in life? What happens if you get lost in life? You don't get years back. You don't get seasons back. And so I teased at the end of last week, we were going to look at this idea of what happens when we get lost? What do we do? And so the scripture we're going to get into here to this morning really sets us up to answer that question. So if you have your Bibles, I'm going to invite you back to open to Proverbs 1. And then if you want to hold your finger in Proverbs 27, we're going to hit a verse there, and we'll probably really drill down on that as we get into the service here. But let me invite you to stand, and let's pray. And just as we sung, Open the Eyes of My Heart, I want to just pray that as we approach God's Word, that we see clearly the things that He's trying to communicate. Lord God, I thank You for this time, that we can be in Your Word, that we can worship You, Lord. I pray, Lord, that You would have our full attention. And in that, I just ask that Your Spirit would illuminate the Scriptures. It's one of His roles in our lives. And so as we read these words, may they come alive for us. May we see things that we may have not seen. And I pray against the casual approach in handling and listening to Your Word. So God, we just ask that You would have Your way. Reveal Your truth to us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so I told you last week we set up the authorship. The authorship comes right in verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. And here is the purpose or the intended purpose behind the words in Proverbs. To know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealings, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. And then that verse in chapter 27, verse 12. The prudent sees danger and hides himself or takes refuge, but the simple go on and suffer for it. You may be seated. So one of the most fundamental things that we believe in this church is that when we read the Bible, we're reading the Word of God. We're reading His words and His instructions to us. And so, you know, sometimes I think with Proverbs, as we try to discern the riddles and the meanings behind them, they sometimes can feel like, oh, these are just kind of quotes, good quotes that people will take and put in memes or put up and things like that. But we have to remember something about the book of Proverbs. It's not like the New Testament where we're reading the story of Jesus and the interactions with people. But these words are no less valuable. These words are important to us. These words were given to us. We were in Bible study this morning, and we were looking at John 16. We were looking at Jesus concluding that chapter. And he says, I've told you all these things so that, right? There's going to be trouble in the world, things like that, but I've overcome the world, all these things. He's telling us as followers of his things that we need to know. And no less are the things in Proverbs that we need to know. These are his words, okay? So if it feels a little bit like, man, I just feel like throw out quotes and things like that, be careful. They're meant to mature us. They're meant to grow us. They're meant to move us. And so again, so as we navigate that, really consider these things. Don't be dismissive. And so again, as we get into these words are meant to prepare us, to help us become wise, and to navigate this life, living according to his word. And in doing that, as we live according to his word, we point people to him. People ask those questions. Why do you live like that? Why do you do that? So in the first verse, Proverbs 1, there's a word here I want us to kind of hone in on today because it helps set up a little bit where we're going here. And it's this word here. It comes in a collection of verses here. Solomon says, to know wisdom, instruction, understand the word of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing and righteousness, justice, equity, to give prudence to simple knowledge and discretion. Have you ever heard people throw around the word prudence? It feels old. It feels like, what is that? And so I want to get into that a little bit here, this word prudence. It's the adjectival form of prudent, okay? And basically, in essence, what it means is to exercise good judgment, to have common sense. And so prudent is knowing what to do, right? Here it is being wise, exercising good judgment, having common sense. And we don't use this word a lot, but you know who does use it a lot? Solomon. He uses it a lot throughout the book of Proverbs here. And so he uses it actually in contrast to another type of person. Can you figure out who the other person is? Simple, right? The simple person. So look at how he kind of uses it throughout Proverbs here. It says this in Proverbs 19. It says, flog a mocker, and the simple will learn prudence. Rebuke a discerning man, he will gain knowledge. As I was thinking about this verse, basic translation, some people have to learn the hard way. Any hard learners? It's like, that's my life right now. You know, hopefully I'm maturing, learning quicker. But I heard this really interesting story about a pitching coach in the major leagues. And he was talking about how he handles different pitchers. And he was saying, you know, some pitchers I'll go out to the mound and I'll say, you know, I'll have to put my arm around them, pat them on the back, and try to coach them through the situation they're going through and just really be loving. He goes, other pitchers, I have to go out there and I have to yell at them. I have to scream at them, and that motivates them. And so what I see here is this same kind of idea. Flog a mocker and the simple will learn prudence. Some of us learn the hard way. Some of us need to hear the hard things. Some of us need to go through the hard things to get to the point. But then there are others, rebuke a discerning man and he will gain knowledge. And so there's a different kind of person here who's mature and is willing to take sometimes the criticism because they see the bigger picture, how it's going to move them, how it's going to grow them. Another place where Solomon compares and contrasts says, a fool shows his annoyance at once, but a prudent man overlooks an insult. Simple people let their emotions get the best of them. They get mad and they go into a rage. They spout off and complain when things don't go their way. But the prudent people know how to control themselves in taking things in stride. I got to say this very clearly. As we approach Scripture, we need to just be practically asking ourselves, who am I in this story? Let's be honest here. Because it's the only way that God is going to move in your life, work in your life, is when we get to a place of honesty. So as we look at these passages, the temptation might be thinking of, yeah, I know someone like that. But what about you? Right? So again, this is the point of going through this, the point of preaching is for you to hopefully see where your life intersects with the Word of God. And is God asking something or trying to speak to you about something? Another one is this, Proverbs 14. A simple man believes anything, but a prudent man gives thoughts to his step. Simple people get fooled, right? Easily. Prudent people use their brains. and they process, they think about it before they make a decision. And then one more here I want to give you, Proverbs 22:3. The prudent sees danger and hides himself, takes refuge, but the simple go on and suffer for it. Now, that might sound familiar because we just read it in 27. When we stood and had you stand and we read through the scriptures. It's interesting here that God includes this verse twice. Twice in the scriptures. Twice in Proverbs. And we have to ask ourselves simply why. Why this one twice? And practically speaking, I think maybe we need to pay attention here. And so we're gonna drill down on this. Why is this recorded twice? Because I think God wants us to learn something from this one specifically in light of being prudent, right? So last week I told you, direction determines our destination. And we closed with that question, how do we choose the right path? I offered three quick, simple solutions. One, get wisdom. Be in the Word, reading the Word of God. I've been sending out weekly emails encouraging you guys to read one chapter of Proverbs a day. There's 31 chapters in Proverbs, 31 days in January, one Proverbs a day. Get wisdom. Go to the scriptures. Don't let Proverbs be the only place you seek out wisdom. The Bible is full of great places to read and study. But start somewhere. Just start somewhere. And again, I go back to that. Billy Graham used to say he used to read Proverbs one chapter a day for his whole entire life. And I know the man studied other places in Scripture. But he saw the value of the wisdom that God is trying to communicate through his word. And so if the intention is for us to move from infants in Christ to mature Christians in Christ, to be made complete, be in his word, get wisdom, go after it, seek after it. The second thing I said was seek out community and accountability. It's so important. Getting in the Bible studies that are offered or seeking out accountability groups, asking people. And when I say accountability, not someone who holds you accountable, but somebody you've invited into that relationship, somebody that you've said, hey, ask me these hard questions. I have a few men coming out of the East Coast that I have said, ask me these questions. I've already said this once or twice already in our elders meetings. Feel free to ask me about my family and things like that. Invite accountability into your life. The point is so that you can grow. And so find out, seek out these type of groups and things like communities that will walk alongside of you in this life. It's hard. You don't have to do it alone. And then I said, make choices based on long-term, not short-term goals. But here's what I ended with last week. I said, so what do you do if you should find yourself on the wrong path? Because it happens. It happens to all of us. We're heading in directions. Our intentions were this, but they're no longer that. Things are starting to kind of become clear to us that the path we're heading is not going in a good direction. Well, Proverbs 22:3, Proverbs 27:12, they speak directly to that question. And it says this, the prudent sees danger and hides himself, but the simple take refuge. And here's the big idea, right? The difference between the prudent and the simple is not what they see, but how they respond to what they see. Right? It's not what they see, but how they respond to what they see. This is the difference between those two people. The prudent see danger, and they take refuge. They make course corrections, whatever it is. The simple see danger, and they go, eh, no big deal, I see it coming. I'm just going to keep going. Both see danger, difference is how one responds. It's like the whole analogy of the ostrich, right, who buries his head in the sand. If I can't see it, it can't see me. Right? And look, if I ignore what's out there, it can't hurt me. And this whole thinking plays out in so many different ways. Consider these couple things. The prudent person senses that a relationship is moving in an unhealthy direction, so they do something about it. The simple, they just keep going. When a prudent person sees trouble on their financial horizons, they do something. The simple, they just keep spending. When the prudent person realizes that God is the most important person in their universe and their relationship with him isn't growing, they do something about it. But the simple just keep going down that path expecting a different result. It's the realization that this behavior, this habit, this relationship, this, you name it, is leading me somewhere that is going to hurt me, so I'm going to get off this path and get on a better one. It's that simple. And think about the second half of this passage here in 22 and 27. It says, but the simple go on and suffer for it. What are they suffering? What are they suffering for? They suffer for refusing to act on what they see. Plain and simple. That's the big payoff. They pay the penalty because they see no connection between the choices today and the experiences of tomorrow. They don't see a connection. They overlook the fact that every path has a destination. Your direction, not your intentions, determines your destination. So here's the question thing. So what do you do if you find yourself on the wrong path or heading in the wrong direction? I just want to give you a couple things here as we get towards the end of the sermon here. And the first one is should be something simple. You do something, right? Scripture says the prudent person takes refuge. They see the danger coming, and they go, time out. Let's do something, right? You step off the path, get on another one. And here's the thing. This isn't easy, okay? It's easy for me to say, hey, do something different. If it's not working for you, do the opposite, right? That seems simple. But it's hard. We naturally continue to do what we're used to doing, right? And so if we're used to overeating, man, that feels natural to us. So let's just keep eating, right? I'm a foodie. I love food, right? And sometimes it shows, right? We continue to do the same thing. Hey, if we're used to losing our temper feels natural. Feels good to fire off. We naturally do these things. And so to do something different is hard. Change is hard. This is why people, I think, give up so quickly on New Year's resolutions. Because they're hard. Making changes are hard. Look, when I realized I was heading in the wrong direction in college with my life, I knew I had to make some changes. Part of making changes for me was submitting to discipline in my life, making some changes and things like that. And it took years, not days, weeks, or months. It took years of practice. And this kind of leads me to my next point, is that, look, to get off the that path and onto another one, you almost will always have to give something up. You almost will always have to give something up. And so when I was on that wrong path and I realized I had to make some changes, these are some of the changes I had to do. I had to stop, for me, you know, partying and all that came with a certain crowd. I had to stop hanging out with certain people. That was a tough decision because, you know, these people were my buddies. They would go to bat for me. They would die for me. We partied together. We knew each other's problems and things like that. So one of the choices I had to make is I had to decide. I had to leave some of those friends, right? I had to stop doing and going to certain places. Certain places where, you know, I'm a big atmosphere guy. So certain atmospheres set up the pitfall of sin in my life. I had to guard myself against that. And so other things, R-rated movies, I had to remove those. You know, because they were full sometimes of violence and language and sex and things like that, concepts that were part of my world. I mean, you watch a PG-13 movie, you know it's bad enough in PG-13, let alone R's. So I had to take some steps back. But it wasn't always just about making changes and removing things. It was about what do I add back into my life, right? Because if you remove something, you've now created a space for something to move in. So you got to be intentional now. So I didn't want to not have friends. Now I had to choose other friends who don't do those things. And I had to go that direction, and I had to hang out with people. And it felt awkward at times. I felt like an outcast because, you know, they didn't do those things that I was doing. But I just knew they were better options for me. They were better things. So, again, it was adding things back in. Finding people who love the same things I was passionate about. Some sports. Sports wasn't a big deal. You know, that was something I could be a little bit more invested in. Music, you know. And God refined these things. I'll be honest, hey, as a teenager, I picked up the guitar because I wanted to score with the girls. You know. I'm going to be the rock star. You know. There's nothing better than a guy who knew how to play an instrument. Right? And so that's why I use it. But guess what? God changed that. Started using my guitar to help out with worship at youth group. And to help lead and things like that. And soon, the gift that God had given me became a passion for him rather than a passion for worldly things. And so this is how things have changed. And some of the things you see even now are a result of making changes, choices, giving up things and replacing them. And here's the other thing I want to tell you about. You know, and the prudent person knows this. If you're on the wrong path and you have to change onto another path, he knows it comes at a cost. And usually you'll suffer some type of embarrassment and self-consciousness about your decisions. Why is this? Because the minute you try to do something that is totally looks different than the way the world goes, you feel like no one else is like you. And so, and you have to be ready. I remember when I was making those changes, some of the questions that come is, you know, hey, I don't see you anymore. Where have you been? You know, I'd run into a buddy at 7-Eleven or something like that. Where have you been, man? We've all been hanging out. We miss you. What's going on? And I would have to have that awkward conversation, right? Why don't you do that? That's weird. That seems weird. Why would you not do that? It seems like you're spending a lot of time with those church people. That's weird. Isn't that restrictive? And trust me, Satan's going to throw all sorts of reasons at you as to why the change you're making isn't a good idea. And look, I'm mentioning things from my personal life, but let's take a look back at some other odd things. What if you're just a negative person? And you're here, you're listening to this right now. Is that what God wants you to be? Man, you've been shown so much grace, so much love. Are you allowing that really to impact who you are? And maybe the joy you have. Maybe you always only see the negative. And again, that's all people hear out of your mouth. Negative, 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 negative. Man, God is confronting you right now. That's not the path I want you on. Because guess what? That's not doing anything to bring anybody closer to my presence and what I'm like. The questions, the comments, the things are coming. And again, for me, these are some of the things that I had to go through. So again, why go through all that? Why make these changes? And here's what I can tell you. Because someday, you will breathe a sigh of relief. You'll get to the other side of whatever it is that you're going through. And there will be this peace that comes over you. You know what's funny about these two verses specifically? They kind of mimic an old children's story. Can you guess which one? Can anyone apply the children's story here? I'll give you a hint. Three little pigs. Again, if you remember the story, the one builds his house out of straw, one builds his house out of sticks, and when the big bad wolf comes along, he huffs and he puffs and he blows their house down. Solomon would call these two pigs the simple pigs. But there was the third pig. The third little pig was the prudent pig. He built a house out of brick. Why? Because he saw the danger that was coming. And he built a refuge. He built a refuge and he hid to protect himself. And this is the point. We all know life is going to get hard. There's going to be challenges in life. And so the question is, which one are you in Proverbs 22 and 27? Are you the prudent one that sees the danger coming and you make changes, you take refuge? Or are you the simple one who just says, you know what, it's not going to bother me. It's not going to affect me. I'm immutable. These things, don't worry about it. You know, we live right now. I try not to pay attention to news. I used to watch the news all the time, read papers and things like that. And after a while, you start realizing this is just the same story over and over and over again. And if anything, it makes you agitated, all these different things. But the truth is, we do live in economic climates and things like that. And the truth is, I think God wants us to be wise. He knows we live in a broken world. He hasn't left us alone. He's given us our word so that we can navigate. He's told us these things that we were talking about in John this morning in our Bible study. Because he cares for us. He wants to see us succeed in life. He wants us to know that, look, in all this trouble, you can find refuge. And he makes it clear in the scriptures, refuge is found only in him, not in all these other things. But, hey, along the way, I'm giving you my word so that as you navigate a broken world, you can overcome it. And you can get through it and not just survive, but thrive, right? And so again, going back into this, prudent people plan for the things that they see coming. If you're a married person, you know that at some point in your marriage, there's going to be a challenge. You plan for it. Well, how do you plan for it? Well, maybe you find accountability, people who can invest in your lives to come along, older, wiser couple who can help navigate this. Go to marriage counseling. I know that gets a bad rap. Kim and I, when we got married, we went to 2 marriage counselings. We joined a group on our college campus where the campus pastor was doing one, and so that was a really cool experience to be with a bunch of couples. And then I had my youth pastor lead us in another one, him and his wife, you know? And years after that, Kim and I, if there's an opportunity for some type of marriage counsel, we'll go. Why? Because we have problems? No. It's because we know that there are problems that exist out there, and they're coming. And so what do? We invest in our relationship. We don't go because we have a problem. We go because we don't want to have a problem. And so one of the things I hope here in the future is that as leadership, we can maybe put some of these things on. Because we believe in the institute of marriage. We believe it's something that God has ordained. Why wouldn't we want to try to equip ourselves and grow in those areas and find areas where we can equip the church to be successful? So again, married people who take their relationship serious see the dangers that are coming and they do something about it. Prudent people know that, you know, they don't take their marriages for granted. They work on these things. And so here's the idea. Prudent people know that it's not what they see that makes a difference, it's what they do. And so I want to say this because I'm confident in this statement, but I'm going to back it up because for those of you guys go, well, where do you get that idea? But if you show prudence in the way you approach life, if you apply the instruction of the Lord, you will one day breathe easier. And you will be an overcomer, and you will experience the presence and peace of the Lord. And that's a true statement because of these verses here. I want you to look at Proverbs 1, 20, verses 20 through 33. You don't have to stand. They'll be on the screen here. It says, "Wisdom cries aloud in the street, in the market she raises her voice. At the head of the noisy street she cries aloud. At the entrance of the city gates she speaks." Now, when I read this, and I start getting into this, you got to remember, these are God's words. So he is saying, look, I make wisdom available for everybody. I'm not making a secret about it. It's for everybody. She cries aloud, raises her voice. Practically, I'm screaming, hello, I have stuff you need to know. And God says, how long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will you scoffers delight in scoffing and fools hate knowledge? He says, if you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit on you. This is why we're in this book right now. This is why we're going through this. This is why Proverbs is important to every other scripture. Because again, if we turn to him, we submit to his teachings, us, he promises his spirit, and it will be poured on you. And I will make words known to you, because I have called, and you refuse to listen to me. So the tone is changing here. I have stretched out my hand that no one is heeded, because you have ignored all my counsel and you would have none of my reproof. This is what he says. I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you, when terror strikes you like a storm and calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish comes upon you. Then people, us, will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me. Now, this is a tough section of the passage. There's a both and going on here. Okay? God in his love says, hey, I'm being very honest with you about how things work in this world, and I'm giving you the tools to navigate it. Right? So he is being completely loving, completely transparent with us. But he says, look, I'm not gonna force myself on you. I'm gonna give you the tools. It's your choice. If you don't want to follow me, fine. But when you come looking for me, don't expect a bailout. My love came in the beginning. I've told you, here's what you need to know. Here's how to navigate life. Now all of a sudden you want a bailout. Sorry, it doesn't work that way. Now, here's the both and. So there's the real sense of that. But so I want to give you two things. The hope is you still have breath in your lungs. And you still have an opportunity as of this minute, this moment, to make changes. And I do believe God will meet you. But the other side of this, the big picture, is eternity. And this is where I think he's really speaking. When people say, they'll call out to me and say, Lord, I need your help. Nope, too late. I gave you my son. I gave you an opportunity to believe. You're dead now. Your one shot was while you had breath in your lungs. And so I think this specific part of the passage is the both end. I just have to, sorry, this is a little mini message. But you have to understand this. It's not that God is not loving, but there's consequences to our actions. He does love you. He starts off by saying, I'm screaming at you. Please don't go that direction. Don't take that path. There's a better way. Stop while you have a chance, because at some point you won't. Now he goes on to say in verse 29, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, would have none of my counsel and despise all my proof. Therefore they shall eat of the fruit of their way, and they will have their fill of their own devices. For the simple are killed by the turning away, and the complacency of the fools destroy them. And he concludes this way. He says, but whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster. If we ignore God's wisdom that God gives us, this is why we feel anxiousness in our life. This is why we feel uptight. This is why we feel stressed and beaten down. Because we have refused the instruction of the Lord. We have said, you know what, I like my way, and it's better. Really? Okay, fine. God says, I'm not going to force myself on you. That's what you want. You choose all that. That is the fruit of your way. He says, however, if you're a prudent person, if you approach life applying the instruction that I give you, you will breathe easier. You will experience my presence. Just as verse 33 says, whoever listens to me will dwell secure, will be at ease without dread of disaster. The prudent sees dangers and hides themselves. They take refuge, but the simple go on and suffer for it. Prudent people know that it's not what they see that makes a difference, it's what they do. So how do we apply these verses? How should we live? I want to give you just five areas here, five what I will call pathways that you need to pay attention to in your life, okay? These are things that you should regularly monitor, right? The first one is this idea spiritually, right? This is the most important thing for us to monitor, is our relationship with the Lord. What's going on with our relationship with the Lord? For married people here, I'm going to give you something. Your spouses can be a mirror for what's going on in your relationship with the Lord. How you treat one another. How you love one another. Relationships are important. The most important relationship in your life is the one that you have with the Lord. Be invested in that. Grow that. Cultivate that. Spend time with God in prayer. Do the necessary things to grow that relationship. It plays out dividends in so many other areas. And you'll see it in how you treat each other. Spiritually, pay attention to that. What's your communion with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? What does that look like in your life? Are you monitoring that? Are there things maybe you need to be doing differently? The second one is relationships. And I put it in this order because even Jesus says, what's the greatest commandment? To love God and to love others. Right? So the relationships around you, like I was saying about married couples, how you treat each other. It's true for those who are single here. The relationships and the people that you surround yourself, are they seeing the love of God in your life? Are they experiencing the love of God in your life? Are you treating others well? And are there healthy relationships or are there some unhealthy relationships that you really need to pay attention to? Third one is this, and I know people hate sermons going into it being moralistic. Morals are a real thing. We get our convictions, I'd like to say, from the Word of God. It's why I do and live the way I do. And so are you paying attention to that? What are you known for? What do people know you for? It's actually one of the qualifications as an elder. that we need to take seriously. What is their reputation? So as we choose elders, it's one of the questions we ask. What are they known for? What do people say about them? Is there consistency between what people see you do and what they don't see you do? Some people call this building character. It's who you are when no one's looking. You monitor that. Another one here, physical and mental health. Look, life is tough, right? And one of the things I learned, and I was a really overweight guy. I'll be honest, I was 274 at one time. You know? And I figured out I was a stress eater. Anytime I felt stress, I grabbed food. I ate that way. Anytime I was stressed. And guess what? It's hard, you know? And I realized this is a battle for a lot of people. There are other things that factor in. But I started to realize, look, if I'm in it for the long haul, I need to take care of myself. And there's the mental aspect of it, too. I see this all the time. People who are broken trying to help other people. I used to counsel this kid who would see me weekly. And it kind of got comical. I felt like a Catholic priest because he'd come in and confess all the things that he did wrong. But then he would tell me, but then I was with a coworker or a friend, I was telling him, you shouldn't do that. And I was like you're trying to tell somebody else that you shouldn't do something and yet you're doing the same thing? Come on, man. You have to get mentally well. You have to pay attention to these things. Look, God wants you, all of us, to have a big impact. And we can't do that if we're not taking care of ourselves. We're shortchanging maybe the possibility of what God wants to do in our life. And then the final area, I think, our finances and resources. I think we're going to need to monitor this because we just finished a whole series about living generously. I believe we have things so that we can be a blessing to others. God gives us, he wants, it's called stewardship. How we use our resources. And the last thing he wants for us to use is for ourselves. To be self-oriented. He wants us to be other-focused. And you never know how, by providing something or being able to give someone, lift a burden in somebody else's situation so that they can see what God is trying to do or hear what God is trying to say. I believe our resources. So these are pathways. We need to see them that way. What direction are we heading in each of these areas? Because whatever direction we're pointing in these areas is exactly where we're going to get to. Doesn't matter about your intentions. It's exactly where you're going to get to. It's where your feet are taking you, heading what direction. So this question here, is there anything you see, and I say that based on the passage, see that it's coming, see danger that's coming, that you need to change and then do differently in any of these areas? If you're the person who likes to set goals, then my encouragement is take some time and set goals this year for these things. I believe God wants us to have a growth mindset. He wants us to be in movement with us, with him. He doesn't want you to be the same person you were 10 years ago, 10 years later. I don't think any of you guys want to be that same person. You would like to say, well, I'm a little bit mature, wiser, and things like that. This aligns with the scriptures. He's trying to take you somewhere. And so my prayer this morning is just this, that you don't waste any more time. Because it's one thing getting lost out on the street driving around. You lose minutes, hours. If you get lost in life, you lose years and seasons, and you can't drive backwards on them. But you can get off that path and get on a new path. And this is what the scripture is encouraging us to do this morning. Again, remember, it's our direction, not our intentions, that will determine our destination. And that the prudent see danger and hides himself, but the simple go on and suffer for it. The prudent people get off the wrong path and get on the right one. Which one are you going to be? Let's pray. God, I would just ask that you would open our minds to the things that are the pathways that are unhealthy right now in our lives. It could be the way we process something, the way we think about something, Lord. Maybe it's an attitude, a reputation that follows us around because, you know, our feet are pointing in a direction that's going to land us in a destination. Lord, as we apply these words, as true they are for a believer or unbeliever, they're especially true for us as followers. They help create intimacy with you. And in that intimacy, we begin to start to look more like who your son Jesus is. And that is so important because there is a world that needs to see your son. God, I'm grateful that you have not left us alone to figure this out. You continue to say throughout the scripture, I'm telling you these things because you really care for us. You really love us. And there's a lot at stake here, as the first chapter proves. What we have right now is this time. This moment, this time in front of us. You tell us our lives are like vapors. They come and go. Lord, help us to live this life well. Help us to be prudent people who apply the wisdom that you give us. And God, I pray as we make these changes, if we have to make changes, that everybody here would just experience your presence, your peace, and your joy in a powerful way. And that they would know there's nothing that compares to it. And it's what fuels their passion to pursue you and the truth of your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Next week, we're gonna kind of explore kind of the idea of why we have a hard time seeing the right path really is.